The recordings have now started.
Shall I do the roll for you?
Yes, please.
On the call, we have Jeff Newman, Avery Doria, Paul Diaz, James Bladel, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, and for staff, we have Maria Koenigs, Margie Milam, and Glenn de Saint-Gerie. And we are just calling out to Alex Gugura. You?
Oh, Glenn, we also have David Olive as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. Yes, because I didn't see you.
I'm listening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we have David Olive, too.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Jeff Newman, and welcome to, I'm trying to figure out my days here, but I believe it's February 25th, 2010, for the normal weekly call of the PDP work team. And let me apologize first because I'm calling from a hotel room, so if there's too much sound or if I lose connection, I completely apologize. I'm on the West Coast and had to call from a hotel room that doesn't have the greatest reception. So please let me know if you have any trouble hearing me. So with that said, the first thing is there was a doodle that was sent around by Gisela, I believe it was yesterday, for a call for next week. As we were talking last week on our call, it didn't seem like there were going to be enough people actually in Nairobi from the work team to have a regular work team there. But it did seem like, you know, we don't want to stop making progress. So to the extent we can actually have a call next week, either Monday or Tuesday, prior to people leaving for Nairobi, that we could actually have a call. I see Marika's hand raised. So, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to confirm that you want to go ahead with canceling the session in Nairobi, because I think we still have it on the GNSO schedule. So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, and I just I had that conversation with Glenn, too, just before we started this call. I think that's what we're going to end up doing. I think on the last call we decided that since there was nothing extraordinary that we were planning, there's no report that we've released, that it's just a regular weekly-type call, you know, that we would have in Nairobi. There wasn't really a special purpose for it. So for that reason and the fact that while there will be a bunch of people participating remotely, it just didn't seem like we could necessarily have that face-to-face meeting.
Okay.
So there is a doodle, though, for Monday or Tuesday of, I believe it's Monday or Tuesday of next week. So if everyone could go and fill it out, you probably should have gotten that yesterday through email. Then that would be great. What I think I'd like to do today is to finish up with page 5 that we, you know, I think we're getting pretty close, and I think we should be able to do it on this call. Marika sent out the last version of stage 5, policy effectiveness and compliance. I believe it was yesterday, again, getting dates mixed up, but it's on the wiki for those of you that haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So where we left off, if you all remember, was on number 3, which was the, you know, now we're not talking about the individual PDP anymore. We're talking about the overall PDP process and periodic reviews of that process. I see what was written here in the notes. I think that's sort of what we discussed.
Okay.
There's a couple of corrections. I think what we had talked about was the initial – we didn't start with the initial question of what are the metrics we would use. We started with a discussion of, you know, what kind of time frame we would do these periodic reviews. And I think we decided that there was really no set time frame that we had in mind because, you know, we wanted to make sure that there were enough PDPs that had taken place before we did this periodic assessment or complete assessment and that these – PDPs were had gone from beginning to end. We talked about possibly having a standing committee that would be around and could be consulted if specific issues or specific things looked like early on that we weren't working out, and that the PPSC, the steering committee, was initially created and thought by some on the steering committee to serve in that role, but we haven't really addressed the met or what the review was like. I'm sorry, is there a bad echo? Do people hear an echo?
I think a little bit, Jeff, but it just started.
It
you were
just
flying
started
in the last minute.
And just stopped, it seemed.
Okay. So what the notes say for the discussion last week was it was suggested that a problem-driven review approach could be pursued only if substantial or sufficient number of issues have been identified by the council. I think that was, and someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that came up with, I don't think we meant that to substitute for after some period of time an overall look at the PDP process. I think that was more, what if there were some problems that came up early on because this was a new process we're putting into effect. I don't think we, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we talked about having, you know, requiring an overall review at some period of time. Do people remember that? Or have a different view? Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika, because I recall that we discussed the option of having it after a year or maybe after a number of PDPs. And I think then, we discussed what the working group work team is considering or is recommending for the working group working group guidelines. Which basically is that, once a year the council basically just turns around and says, hey, does anyone have any issues or any things that we need to reconsider in relation to the working group guidelines? If no, okay, then we just continue business as usual. If yes, we'll just look at those and see if we need to create some kind of ad hoc team that looks at those issues or things that need to be updated and take it from there. So basically, you have some kind of mechanism where you have like a timely review, but that review doesn't mean that you need to create a working group and need to create a whole process like what we're doing now to review it, but you basically just set a point in time where you say, hey, does anyone have any issues, should we take this further, or can we just wait another year or another 2 years before we check back again? And that's something that the working group work team has incorporated as one of their suggestions for consideration of the PPSC, and one of the things I think I raised as well on the last call. But again, this group might decide to go a completely different route on that.
Okay. Aubrey? Aubrey, you have your hand raised and you may be on mute.
Sorry, I was on mute. And I was part of the working group work team that sort of said that check yearly. But one of the things that occurs to me listening to Marika describe it is, who are we asking, are there any issues? In other words, is it enough to just ask that of the council members, or is that something that should be sort of a wider asking of, has the PDP gone well, or does anyone else see any issues that we review? So almost like a public asking of it, a comment period on a yearly basis. And I hadn't quite thought that through until, as I said, I'd heard Marika explain it and sort of listened with fresh ears.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I'm not sure, given the affirmation of commitments and other things that, other mandatory reviews that ICANN has to take on, while I certainly understand the turning around periodically to the counselors and saying, are there any issues, should we do a review, I still think, and maybe it's not a time interval that we can pinpoint at this point, but I still think that there should be some overall review at some period of time of the entire process, whether or not counselors say, raise their hand and say, yeah, we think this needs to be reviewed. But, I do want to hear from other people on this to get some views as to and also on Avery's suggestion of, you know, right now the way it's worded or the way that Marika described it, it was more towards a counselor, and Avery had pointed out that, you know, maybe it should be really an ask of the community. Don't everyone raise your hand at once. Okay, so we'll push that over to the side for the moment, and then maybe go to the question of, okay, so and Avery had said, you know, who would be, are we all still full of the opinion that, and I think we agreed on the last call, so I just want to make sure we're still on the same page, that it would be that initially the PPSC or a committee like that would be a standing group around for individual issues that had come up during the process, especially as in the first couple of years when it's new and it's different, that could be around to be consulted or review specific items. Just want to double check and make sure we were all good with that standing committee notion. Paul?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think that's a great idea. I would just ask that we make sure that the members of the PPSC, if there are any changes and whatnot, that group always has some acceptable minimum number of folks, more than one. You know, we don't want to have a situation, I think that happened last time, that because of some changes, it was a question about, well, who constituted that committee? I guess when we were doing our face-to-face and we were wondering, do we have to send it through the group when the group really hadn't been functioning for a while? If we go ahead, go this route, which I think is a perfectly valid approach, just want to make sure that that group is always staffed to a minimum level.
Yes, I agree with that. And again, it's a little bit more challenging when you have a long period of inactivity, and how you would, you know, do you just keep every few months, do you keep sending notes out to people saying, hey, are you still interested, you know, so logistics would have to be worked out of how to do that, but certainly I think we all should agree with that concept. James?
Hi, Jeff. This is James speaking, and while I think I mostly agree with what you said earlier, I'm just playing it out in my head a little bit, and I have a couple of concerns in that a standing committee charged with reviewing and possibly recommending modifications to the PDP process itself could make the PDP more of a dynamic process and a moving target. I'm trying to take this all in, and doing a little thinking on the spot, so I apologize for that. But, you know, the idea being that, you know, if for example, I didn't get the outcome I was looking from a particular PDP, and then it changed 6 months later, you know, I might want to circle back under the new process or under the new operating rules. So I just wonder how frequently we would see this changing. And my fear is that with the standing committee, the answer is it would change as frequently as it could.
Yeah, so I think that's a legitimate concern. So, how do we, or what are some things that we could do to make sure that didn't happen? Is there some sort of threshold from the council that would have to vote on it in order for an issue to be reviewed by the standing committee, or is this something? And when you were thinking about it, James, was it something that you thought the standing committee would, on its own, just decide to review?
Well, I think the latter. And I think my concern was that if you establish a standing committee, it is, and give it a mission, it is going to naturally want to execute that mission. And I just don't know. I think that there's something to be said for some stability and consistency over time. And even if there are some, there's a period of acclimation or some period of getting used to the new rules, we should allow that to occur naturally as opposed to sitting down and changing them again, or reversing rules maybe that came out of this group because they were, you know, really just because of a certain, they were different enough that a certain portion of the community or the attendance thought it was a problem when in fact it was just new. I don't know. I'm doing a little thinking and talking simultaneously here. So if this isn't making sense, I apologize.
No, I think it does make sense, and I think those are issues that we certainly need to think about, and I'm just in my head trying to think of suggestions that we could do to mitigate that issue. You know, for example, could it be that the committee only reviews things that are specifically referred to it by the council by some kind of vote? Could it be that the standing committee can only review items that it demonstrates, or if it was by the standing committee itself, could there be a requirement that the standing committee actually demonstrate that it's an issue that doesn't affect just one PDP but was observed in multiple PDPs? You know, kind of like the standard is for, and I apologize if this is a bad example, but it's just the first thing that kind of came to my head, you know, where people say, you know, a consensus policy can't be aimed at one specific registry, but has to be something that affects multiple registries or registrars, that it can't be just aimed at one party. In theory, you could say that a review of a particular item in a PDP isn't one that just came about because it affected one individual PDP, but affected multiple. Does that make sense? Marika, you have your hand raised. Is there thoughts on that?
No specific thoughts on that, but actually James's comment raised another issue that, you know, I just wanted to take note of and maybe not necessarily discuss now, but it's something the group will need to take into account and discuss as well, is how to address the transition between the new PDP and the old PDP, because it's very likely that some PDP working groups will still be operating under the new rules while the new PDP process is being adopted. So something this group will need to think about as well is how will it affect all PDPs, or will it just apply to new ones that start, and how to go about that. So just to make a note of that, not necessarily related to this specific issue.
Okay, let me go to let me try to first close out the issue, and then we'll come back to what you've raised, Marika. But let me come to the issue of and maybe Marjorie or Avery Avery put down her hand. First, go to the issue of the notion of how would things, in order to address the concerns that James had raised about making sure that it wasn't just the standing committee didn't just review things that would be to try to get a different result in a PDP. How could we address that other than, I mean, maybe, Mariko, maybe one of the points that you raise is maybe we could say that the review couldn't affect an individual PDP that was going on at that moment, but was – okay, I'm sorry, Margie, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to address that because James's issue about whether, you know, it's just a problem or issue arose in multiple PDPs. And just in looking at it, you know, we still don't really know how these new rules will be implemented. And that unique circumstances come up where it justifies a change in the rules. And we may not necessarily see duplicate, you know, experience in another PDP. So I wouldn't want a hard, fast rule that would, you know, require the issue to be, you know, raised in multiple ones, because there might be reasons that, you know, that it came up in a particular one.
So is there anything then you could, if that were the case and there were no hard and fast rule, is there anything that we could do to address James's concern that it wasn't geared towards a specific one to change the outcome or to change the direction in which that group is going in?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see the concern, but in practice, I mean, it's so much effort to get a group together, the PPSC, and to actually come up with something new that I would just think that whoever's on this group to evaluate the new processes would be, you know, we would expect them to be reasonable and not, you know, try to apply an arbitrary rule for a particular PDP. You know, it's too much work to go through the process, and if there's a change in the rules or the processes, it still has to be approved by the GNSO Council. So, you'd still have that check at some point.
Okay. Avery and then James?
Okay, yeah, I guess I have two thoughts on it. One is I still expect the reasonable counselor rule to apply, and that if they see an effort to change the PDP rules specifically to try and change the outcome of specific PDP, and there'd be enough discussion and review for that to come out, they wouldn't allow that to happen. So I don't know that we need much rule in that beside just, you know, counting on the reasonableness of at least most council members. On the issue of what happens when you have an in-progress PDP and the rules are changed, I think one of those common rules that I've seen in this kind of situation is that you get to operate under either the rules of old or the rules of new, and you basically have to make a concrete decision once the rules are changed, and perhaps this is also a council-level decision, that the council would have to review each of the in-progress PDPs and say whether they stayed under old rules, which, you know, may make perfect sense if they happen to be in the last 2 months of the PDP, or if they operate under new rules because they just started a month ago, or, you know, some other set of criteria.
Okay. James, your reaction to that?
Yeah, and I certainly didn't mean to imply that it was any kind of a hedge against unreasonable counselors or members of this particular committee. I just wanted to point out that with a standing committee, the barrier or the threshold for extra work that Margie was pointing out is lowered significantly if that group is constituted and continuously reviewing the PDP process. And I just think that there's some benefit to stability over time. You know, a flawed process that is universally understood and, evenly employed, I think, is better than the continuous pursuit of a perfect process. That's really all I was trying to say. It had nothing to do necessarily with concerns about what the unreasonable counselors. It was just much more the concern that this would continuously be a moving target, and that the cycle of change would be shorter than the life cycle of your typical PDP. That's it.
Okay, so let me ask the question then. So if we had the standing committee, I don't think we answered this question, and I had asked James what he was assuming when he brought up his comments was, what did the standing committee just review items of a PDP process on its own, or did an issue need to really be referred to it by the council? And so I don't think we resolved that or had a full discussion on that. And I think, James, I think, and you have your hand raised, so remind, I think you said that you were assuming in some of your comments that it was on its own, that it could just raise these comments, but you have your hand raised, so
yeah, I was. No, yeah, that is correct. I was assuming that they were on their own, and I guess I was challenging the idea that there should be a standing committee at all, and there shouldn't be one that was just constituted on a periodic or an as-needed basis and then disbanded when that review period was over.
Okay, so let me turn a question directly to Avery, because I remember you were one of the supporters last week on the call of having this standing committee. When you were thinking about it, were you thinking it was the standing committee could on its own review things, or were you assuming that it would be issues that were referred to it either by by the council, or maybe you, like some of us, didn't really give it thought. We just kind of agreed with the notion of a standing committee.
I tended to think of it as being able to go either way, as either noticing an issue that needed to be discussed, and just because an issue needed to be discussed, it didn't mean that there was a change. Very often it might just require some help in interpretation, so that it could be something that it was self-brought up by people that participated in it, though for the most part it would be things that were brought to it simply because they wouldn't be part of all groups. But I tended to think that it could go either way.
Okay. Does anyone have additional thoughts on that? Anybody else that maybe hasn't spoken, giving it some thoughts? Okay. So, James, if we wrote in provision to have the standing committee, if we wrote that the standing committee could either on its own bring up issues to discuss, obviously any output would have to go to the council, but or any recommended changes, I should say, or the standing committee could have issues referred to it by the council. What other are there any other protections or things that you would like to see to make sure that you know your points about having some consistency aren't tampered with, or is it something that's enough to have it as a cautionary measure to the council when or if and when they consider any changes?
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. This is James speaking. I don't really have extreme views on that either way, Jeff. I just wanted to get the conversation started on I just wanted us to spend some time discussing the need for a permanent committee. I don't know that. I think that once you know, as I said earlier, once you create a group of folks like that and keep them active, they're going to find. Things to work on, you know. Anyway, I don't really have any strong feelings on it, Jeff.
Okay. How about Marika and then Alex?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm just wondering as well if this is one of the issues that needs to be discussed or considered in the broader context of GNSO improvements, because there are you know, many work teams that are working on papers, processes, documents that I presume at all, you know, all of them at some point in time might need review or updating or changing. So I'm wondering if this is an issue that, you know, either the OSC and the PPAC need to come together on and discuss what would be the best approach to review all these processes and documents that are being produced in the context of GNSO improvements and come together on a proposal and submit that to the GNSO Council for consideration on how to move forward on these kind of reviews and addressing issues that might come up over time. I think this team can come up as well with a recommendation, of course, but maybe it makes more sense to discuss in the broader context and see as well what other groups are thinking on this and, you know, synergize efforts in that way.
Okay, so how would we do that? How would we all come together to, you know, we would have a joint call to discuss the notion?
Well, I think it's probably for the OSC and PPSC chairs first to discuss together whether indeed this is an issue that is being discussed in the different camps, and maybe see as well with the GNSO Council if this is something, I guess, with the chairs, the chair and the vice chair, to see what their thinking is, whether they are expecting a proposal from the different work teams on each of the different outputs on how those need to be reviewed, if they expect from the OSC or the PPSC to come together on a joint proposal, or whether they just think that the GNSO Council will, you know, develop their own method once they have all the work products in, that then they'll discuss at the GNSO Council level on how to go about, you know, moving, implementing all these different elements and going about reviewing these in due time. So maybe it's a chair's discussion at first, and then bringing it back at the appropriate level depending on the outcome of those discussions.
Okay. Alex?
Yes, I just wanted to remind us about some PDP changes that may not be changes per se when they are starting, but they may be PDP review that come about or occasioned by implementation issues. We discussed that on a past call. So there will be instances where maybe when the staff reach an implementation of a PDP, they find emerging issues. So then it may be necessary to change or to review a PDP, which will result to a change, but it was not envisaged as some sort of new requirement coming in, but it's an implementation issue, may occasion a change. I just wanted to raise that possibility. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and there are a number of things also to add to that we discussed that aren't necessarily bylaw changes, because there's a lot of stuff that we have discussed putting into more of a rules of engagement for the council on PDPs, you know, or a lot of recommendations that aren't hard-coded, just to use that phrase. So that's an interesting point, and we just need to be open to that. So let's say that there are it is decided that the standing committee were to review an issue, are there any, if you look at 3A, the question is what metrics would need to be developed in order to assess the effectiveness of the process as a whole? Has anyone given that some thought as to, okay, so then they decide that, yeah, something should be reviewed. What are the metrics in which you would do that review, or is it really different for or dependent on a specific context and specific issue? In other words, could we you know, punt that a little bit and basically say that if there is a review that's taken up, one of the things that the standing committee would need to do is define the metrics with respect to that particular issue. Seems like we have a quiet on that. I guess it's a hard abstract concept because you're thinking of things that may at some point come up to review, but not really having context of specific items. Margie?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some hard metrics you might consider. How long it takes to get through the various stages. There could be annual reports about a participation, how many people have participated from what stakeholder groups. Those sorts of things that at least inform how much participation there was and how much consensus was reached within a working group.
Okay. James?
Yeah, initially I was going to be a contrarian, but I think Margie has some good ideas there. My initial reaction was just asking the question of or considering that I don't believe that individual PDPs necessarily lend themselves to comparison with one another over time. But I think that Margie's examples are a good starting point.
Okay. Are there other examples that you could think of, or we'll start with those?
It's Margie. How many people participated in the public comment forum? Or participated in surveys during the PDP? I think that kind of information is useful because it shows that the issue was something significant or I don't know. I mean, I'm just, thinking of past ones and sometimes, it's surprising how little comment we receive on some recommendations, some reports.
Okay. But is that an issue that's for the overall PDP process or with respect to an individual PDP?
It might indicate the process is broken if you're not receiving, a decent amount of participation. It is a tough question as to whether it relates to the specific issue or just the process overall.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put my hand back down. Sorry, Jeff.
Second thoughts?
Yeah, second, third, and fourth, and then I decided I was confusing myself, so no sense sharing that.
Well, actually, I appreciate the fact that you did. It means you're like the rest of us humans. Okay. So the question then remains then, Marika, do you have enough to take some notes and to write something up on this particular part? Do you have additional comments or questions as to what you should do with this section?
There's Marika. Yeah, no, I think I got some good input, and I'll look back as well to the feedback on the survey, share it there. And again, anyone that has any comments or suggestions on the notes for the other sections, please send them, and I want to make sure as well that I try to capture the discussions here as best as possible.
Okay. So looking back at the other items, I'm just looking to see if we make if we've covered everything for Section 5. Was there any other holes that were in there? I'm not sure that I think we've covered all of it. I'm just kind of scrolling back.
This is Marika. We didn't cover all the questions under one, although I think we did talk to some of talk about some of those, and I think some of the response to 1A and 1H you know, refer as well to or could apply as well to the other questions. But for example, an issue that Marcia just raised as well, like 1F. How should public comments or community input on the effectiveness of a policy be factored in? I'm not really sure why we discuss that in great detail.
Okay, so if we go back to one, just to remind everyone what that was with respect to an assessment of the recommendations of a particular or specific PDP as opposed to the PDP process as a whole. And so the question is, how would public comments be, or should there be a process of receiving public comments on an individual PDP? And if we go back to our recommendation, we've said that a lot, in most of the, or a lot of the PDPs that have been done recently, we do call for a review of that particular policy within a certain period of time. For example, domain tasting, it said that if there were, you know, every so often there would be a report that would be done by ICANN staff, and if the council chose, as a result of viewing those statistics, to conduct a review after 6-12 months, it could do so. The council has chosen not to do the review simply because I think, at least in the domain tasting, the policy is viewed by a number of people to be effective, and it didn't seem like with the statistics getting back that there needed to be a review. I'm trying to think of some more recent examples that where a PDP has gone through and there's a review process built in. Can ICANN staff think of some examples?
This is Mark. I think the IRTP is one where, I don't know, I don't think it necessarily was in the policy, but I think when that, one that was adopted, they immediately started reviewing it as well to see whether it was actually you know, if it was behaving as was intended or whether there were any areas for improvement or clarification. And I mean, that process is still going on, and there's still, I think, three PDPs in the queue to address the issues that came out of that review process.
Yeah, I think, you're right. I think that was that came out of the original transfer process that called for the periodic reviews. And you're right, now there are several PDPs that are reviewing different elements of or things that we've learned since we created that consensus policy. So with that said, I mean, was it just an assumption of this group? And if so, should we spell it out that anytime there is a review, that like all, like everything else that goes through the ICANN process, once it, if there's a review, that there is public comment taken on that review, or on that PDP, in addition to setting up a working group to looking at the issue? Is that just an assumption, or is that something that should be spelled out? Well, perhaps we should, I think it was an assumption, but I think perhaps we should make sure that when we draft this section in the report, that we do allow for public comment to be, if it is decided, or if the PDP says there should be reviews at different points in time, that we should indicate that review should also include, or should include at a minimum, public comment periods to address that as well, and that it shouldn't just be necessarily a committee that considers it in a vacuum. Does anybody have an issue with making that clarification? Okay. People seem to be awake today.
Rowdy bunch.
Higher on the west coast of the U.S. And I don't know if Margie is too. Margie?
Oh, actually, I thought of another metric if we want to go back to the other issue that we just closed out. I was talking to David here, and one of the things that might be an interesting metric would be to look at who from the different stakeholder groups and how many people actually participated in the PDPs over time. I think there's been a criticism of the existing policies or process says a PDP might be launched by a certain group, for example, maybe a counselor's interested in a particular issue, and then no one from that group even participates actively on the PDP, causes all this work. That might be something that would be interesting to report back on to see whether, that leads to additional process changes in the process itself.
So potentially a review of, so if it is driven by one or two counselors, maybe a change to threshold or something, review of threshold.
Hi, I'm not online at the moment. This is Audrey. Is that what we call the finger pointing metric?
we could come up with a name, sure.
Well, no, because I mean I'm only being slightly facetious, but I'm walking out in the cold. But it seems problematic. I mean, that one seems to start from an accusatory position, and I wonder whether we do want to burden the PDP process with methods that are mostly tend to be accusatory. That's my only point.
So,
I was intending it more to be just simply a report. Summarizing numbers. I mean, it wouldn't. Whoever's reviewing the report can come to their own conclusions. It's not going to, point anyway. It's just going to say, for example, there were, fridge, 20 people participating, shoulder group.
The way you had explained it was, one constituency causes all this work and then doesn't participate. So that's what gave me the impression. Sorry.
So certain statistics, and I think certainly taking it away from the accusatory, but certain statistics may be helpful in the fact of that, look, we as these groups are meeting, there may be certain constituencies or stakeholder groups that are consistently not participating. And there could be a reason behind that, and there could be it could have to do with the policy development process that we've set forward. So having those statistics is useful, but I certainly agree that there should not be a goal in mind in collecting those statistics initially. I'll go to Alex and then James.
Yes, I just wanted to underscore every point, whereas the statistics would be good because then they indicate the level of the diversity of the participation on a PDP. We should then avoid showing that or accusing anyone. There may be many reasons, like Jeff, you say. For example, there could be capacity in its various contexts that is prohibiting some constituencies or stakeholder groups from participating, or there could be certain interests that are encouraging a certain stakeholder group to participate. Both should be noted, that maybe the overwhelming participation by a certain stakeholder group or absence of another. So the statistics are good, but not to accuse those that didn't participate from that point of view. I mean, that's the contribution I wanted to make on that.
Yeah, and Alex, some of Alex's comments, it brings me back to conversations that we had several stages ago, in which we said, the council needs to, we discussed quite lengthy whether there should be a limit on the number of PDPs that are done at any given time, and the conclusion we kind of came to was that we couldn't think of an exact number, but we left it to the council to manage that process to make sure there weren't too many going on at once. And as Alex said, if we find that consistently there are a number of PDPs where an individual stakeholder group or constituency is not able to participate for one reason or another, and it could be because of capacity, that perhaps someone at a later point in time decides that, okay, we see that the council maybe is not doing an effective job in managing the number of PDP, so maybe we should come up with a different rule on that. James, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, Jeff, this is James speaking. Going back to what Margie said, and I didn't take it to be I did not take her suggestion to be a finger-pointing or an accusatory type of a process, but now I'm going to go ahead and be difficult and say, well, what's wrong with shining a little bit of light on that? You know, if there is a pattern that is established that a vocal and active individual or minority stakeholder group, one single stakeholder group, is generating a lot of PDPs and then not participating in the PDPs, but yet, kind of maybe jumping in at the 11th hour to guide the outcomes, I think that, you know, you really, without some sort of control, you've really kind of written the blueprint on how to game the entire ICANN PDP process. So I think that there's some merit to what Margie was saying in terms of shining some light on that, so that at least at a minimum it's visible. And then what people do with that is kind of a neither here nor there. So I don't mean to sound like I don't trust anybody, and that's not really what I'm getting at. I'm just saying that, this we need to make sure that we're not building in the mechanisms for someone to manipulate this should that type of person come along in the future. I haven't met them yet.
This is Aubrey, still not online, can I say?
Yes.
When we talk about processes to manipulate, one could sort of manipulate those accusatory statistics as easily as they can. I think we're defending ourselves against things that aren't happening, and in so doing, kind of like, you know, all security systems do, we're building in more structure, more suspicion, and more weapons with which to hit each other over the heads with. So I just want to sort of put up a warning. The whole notion that one person starts a PDP in a group where there's a bylaw that sort of says there's a certain way to start a PDP, a threshold is met, which means a certain number of constituencies, stakeholder groups, what have you, have made a decision that this is worth going forward on. It doesn't really matter who had the first idea. What really matters is that following the bylaw set thresholds, the council decided that this was something that needed work on. And so I think that, one, there's a discontinuity between who has the first idea. There may be people, whether they're in a constituency or an NCA or, you know, the tramp out in the street, who basically are able to look at things and say, there's work to be done here, and convinces other people there's work to be done there, even though they're not the type of person that does the work. And to say that that is a thing that we should have a punitive measure against is worrisome to me. Thanks.
So, but Aubrey, you're not, but are you okay with the notion of collecting the statistics the first, without accusatory, just every so often, as we do in this group, we publish statistics on who is participating, the attendance, and it does help us, by the way, get us more people to come to the meetings. But do you have anything against the notion of just collecting the statistics?
No, I'm not against collecting facts. Where I worry is where we start to turn them into quantitative and qualitative measures that seem to have meaning. And that's where my caution flags start to go up. To have a table that's got a certain number and has, you know, various measures of diverse, even measures bothers me, but has indicators of diversity indicated, I think that is a good thing, but then we'll have to talk about how many different scales of diversity we're looking for, you know. But then to start making them into measures and into things that are qualitative and quantitative measures that we make judgment on is where I start to see the drift that worries me. Certainly collecting data is always a good thing. I just worry about how we use it.
Okay. I think that's certainly fair enough. So in any recommendation we have to collect the data, we need to make sure that at least our group makes it clear that we're not going into this with any, nor should anyone go into a preconceived notion of the use of that data, or what we're trying to spell out, just really a mere collection of facts to help us review, you know, what's going on out there. Sorry, I just lost my space on Adobe here. Okay, Marika and then James?
I think James was first.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Aubrey, and I think that, you know, you're correct that collecting the data is probably a good idea. Infusing conclusions into it is where things get a little tricky. And I just wanted to also ask Jeff or Marika or Margie, we had something earlier, which is when we were talking about the outcomes of unbalanced PDPs that were unbalanced in terms of their stakeholder groups that comprise them. And again, I'm just pointing out the idea that if I, as a registrar, were to hypothetically say, okay, all registrars, please stay out and don't participate in this particular group so that when whatever comes out of it, we can point to and say it's an invalid policy because it didn't involve our participation. I feel like, you know, that system could be prone to abuse, and I think that the idea is that, you know, we collect the data. What we do with it is another matter entirely, but I think, you know, you need to be careful in these processes that you're not also building in the antidote to whatever comes out of these PDPs.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, talking about the data, and I think looking back as well, because we did a similar effort actually, you know, I think at the meeting in Seoul, we presented some data on participation in the different working groups and efforts. And I don't think that was done in any way to accuse any group or any individual of not participating, but I think it was more a testimony of saying, look, there is something wrong, because we really see that certain groups just can't keep up, and, you know, we don't have a good representation on the different working groups from the different teams. And I think that has partly inspired as well the prioritization efforts that is currently going on, or basically I think the conclusion that was taken from the data, like there's too much going on. The different constituencies and stakeholder groups and volunteers just can't keep up, so we need to do something. So I think in that sense, you know, that kind of data, you know, I don't think you need to, you know, it should be used as James said, that you go back and, you know, on purpose you don't participate because you know people will review it, and then you can just claim that, you know, the PDP outcome is not valid because there wasn't adequate participation. I think that is something that will be done throughout the course of a PDP, where a working group chair will ask from time to time, saying, look, you know, we don't have anyone from that group, you know, you're not participating, are you sure? You know, we just want to make sure that you know this is going on, and, you know, we will come to a conclusion at the end of the day. You know, don't claim that you didn't know about it. So I think that's, those kind of things are addressed through other means, but I think there is value in looking at the end of the day just at the numbers. And again, I think there is then for the GNSO Council to take those numbers and look at those and draw conclusions from those and see how to improve or address the issues that might come up through that.
Right. Alex?
Yes, I was just wondering whether it would be possible to recommend that at certain stages of the PDP itself, perhaps the stakeholder group leads may be asked if there's any reason they would wish to have noted, maybe because of maybe absence or maybe inadequate participation as was previously envisaged when the PDP was being initiated. And at the end of the day, when the PDP is coming to a conclusion with the statistics on the participation, maybe such responses could be noted at the report that comes out of the PDP. Perhaps then that way it would give information that would otherwise have been missed out, and it would also encourage the absent stakeholder groups from participating more into the PDPs. I don't know if that would be a suggestion I could make.
Yeah, I think so. What the practice has been, at least in this group, is that, you know, the chair has, you know, when we've noticed some specific anomalies, and I need to do it again because there's one or two groups that have not been recent. It's usually the chair that kind of goes out and publishes the statistics and then to the sends it to the heads of these groups saying, hey, so you see these are the statistics who's showing up. Can you please, let us know if there's an issue or if there's not, if you could help us make sure there's someone from your group. Kind of what we've been doing, and it's worked okay. I hear, Aubrey, let me go to James. Aubrey, do you want after James? Oh, no, okay, let me go to James.
Am I on or am I mute?
No, you're good.
Okay, so yeah, thanks, and I think if I could sum up my entire concern with what we're discussing here, it's really an issue of balance. How do we balance the voices and the positions of the folks who participated, in every working group versus the folks who maybe showed up for the first and the last meeting versus the folks who didn't participate at all versus the public comments. I think that how can we make sure that everyone has open and unfettered access and input into the PDP process without, saying, for example, it's nice, for example, that you gave up every Tuesday for a year and a half working on this issue and you wrote all these reports, but this guy who posted a paper to the, comment section is the route we're going to go. It's a diminishment and a disincentive, I think, to participation. We need to think about that. So that's really my concern here, is just this idea of balance.
Okay, and you have any... So you brought a very interesting question to the table or a notion. And is there anything you could think of how to strike that balance? I mean,
you want me to fix my problems? Oh, okay. I think it's the challenge. It's fundamental to the nature of ICANN. We want to be open, and we want to allow participation from all spheres and corners and interests within the community. And I think that's notable and laudable, but we have to make sure that we're not also disrespecting the work of those who participate by allowing, someone to jump in with about 10 minutes effort. If they have a new idea that nobody's considered before, I mean, gosh, get it in the report, get it on the table. But, I think that you certainly don't want to be so open that someone can come in and derail a process that's been many years and many man hours and woman hours or person hours in the making, and it's, caused a lot of debate. And, it's just... it's something to think about. I think it's fundamental to the idea of an open and participatory organization.
Okay. Aubrey, you have a comment? You may still be on mute, Aubrey. Aubrey says, did I fall off or hear nothing? I think you may have fallen off, Aubrey.
She still looks connected on meeting view, though.
Okay, well, let's see. Sorry, okay, James just responded to Aubrey. If she responds to that.
Yeah, it's probably best that she didn't hear what I had to say, so I don't have to... embarrass myself like that.
Okay, she says that she hears nothing and will have to dial back in. So what if everyone now hangs up and plays a little joke and okay, actually we are sort of kind of getting, I'm trying to see if there's anything else in item one, Marika, that we need to answer. We'd went back to number three after Margie had brought in another element. Is there anything else in one or two that we need to go over that we didn't cover? I feel like we've done a pretty complete job on each of these. Not necessarily saying we have complete answers for each of these, but we certainly discuss them.
Please be patient. Your correspondent has put you on hold. Please be patient. Your correspondent...
Sorry, I thought there was Alex Gukura's line making that noise. I've muted him.
Oh. Ah, okay, thank you. That's a message I've never heard before. So with that said, Marika, do you have enough then? Aubrey's raised her hand. So Aubrey, are you back on?
Yeah, I'm back on. And, of course, somebody may have already said exactly what I was going to say, so I apologize if I repeat it. What I was thinking, this was in terms of the I've worked really hard and now somebody new's come in issue. I think we talked about that in various places in this PDP that, you know, there's this notion that you don't reopen subjects unless you've got something really new or a new take on the issue, a new version of the problem, something. And so if something comes through in a comment, if the people on the PDP have already dealt with that issue, then there's basically an explanation that can be written that says, yes, that issue was brought up. The following concerns were made both in the pro and con, and for the various reasons that follow, the following, you know, decision was made, etc. If, on the other hand, someone brings up something startlingly new that the people in the group had not thought of or a take, it really doesn't matter that it's one person and that it's one person at the end of the day, because what they've brought up is a serious concern that was missed, and therefore one would have to deal with it anew. So I'm not sure that it shows in any sense lack of respect for those who do work, but it does show a primacy to the ideas, the notion, the problem, and its solution, as opposed to who says what, how often, and how much.
Yeah, I see James, you've raised your hand. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, just to agree that, you know, and I'm not sure at what point we lost the connection, but we kind of threw that out as a qualifier as well, Aubrey, that, you know, if it's something new that the group missed, then we definitely need to get it into the report. But just, you know, again, maintaining this idea of balance so that the participation is not inadvertently through a structural process weighted one way or another. You know, one thing that pops into my mind, because it's in the headlines all the time, is the U.S. Senate. You know, any senator can walk on the floor and tie that body up indefinitely. The good news, if you want to call it that, is it's limited to 100 people that can possibly do that. So I think when an organ, you know, imagine if the Senate were open to anyone at any time. So my point being that I think that when a group strives to be as open and inclusive as I can, then it also has an obligation to ensure that there's balance in contribution.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you want to make sure that groups are incentivized to participate in the process as opposed to knowing that they could at the last minute, if they get enough people to support them, or let's say it's a stakeholder group or constituency, they could just not participate in the process, wait till the very end, and then submit their ideas. So I think... Aubrey, I think the point you make is very important. I think what James said, too, is that, you know, balance needs to be struck to make sure that there is no disincentive or there are no disincentives to participate in the process and spend all that time just to know that at the end you could be kind of circumvented by a group that either goes around the process in some sort of way.
Well, and Jeff, you know, I think that's an excellent point. You know, I didn't really mean it to sound as though it was a distrustful or an accusatory thing. I just wanted to point out the idea of balance.
Okay, Margie.
I mean, I think you pretty much covered it. I mean, we want to avoid it being some sort of you know, last minute veto, right? You know, and I think to a certain extent you can. You know, by having a proper chair for a working group, that he can have the discretion in determining whether, or he or she, to determining, you know, whether this last-minute, you know, issue is worth, you know, readdressing some of the issues that the working group had already resolved.
Right.
Jeff, can I jump in on that real quickly?
Yes.
So this is James speaking, and I agree completely. I just wanted to say that even distracting or non-meritorious issues, or if they're reopening arguments, even just just determining whether or not it is sufficiently new takes time and effort on the part of the group. So that is also a consumer of resources that could accumulate to derailing the process. Think of it as, you know, spamming a group with unrelated issues. It's possible.
Okay, Alex?
Since I share with you the frustration of doing so much work over the years, I've been in so many situations where you volunteer to do so much for so long, and on the last minute somebody comes and just says things and sort of takes you back, way back. But you know what? This is a problem. It is a problem of democracies. And since ICANN is now going to be trying to exercise that democratic participation with the AOC for all the countries around the world, we are going to see lots and lots of that. And I think the more we probably create more room for people to try and come in and table what it is in the table at the last minute, it doesn't matter, and then create a process where we can say, okay, we have reviewed this with regard to this PDP, and for reasons X, Y, or Z, or how many number, maybe we feel we can't continue with that. I think that will probably give the PDP process a fair chance of global acceptance in the new realities of AOC. It's my thinking that in as much as maybe the historical information, and we understand how it can be very frustrating, all of us, it might be fairer and give the PDP a better chance if we create a little more room and create more rules of how to tighten the rules of trying to reopen work despite the cost that you'll have, because democracy is very expensive. I think it was designed that way. And I know you are democratic, James. I'm not in any way suggesting anything. Maybe we create rooms of how we can minimize the chances of going back on what has been done, but at least allow whatever new view may come at the 11th hour or whenever, whoever. And also be cognizant of the other fact that, again, there might be a problem of over-participation by one group. We are dwelling more of lack of participation by one. There might be too much participation of another problem altogether. So let me stop there for now. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Margie?
James made me think of an issue, too, related to the timing. As we plan for the international meetings, I mean, everyone, there's the deadline for publications, and that's really where this issue, you know, is highlighted, because someone who's raising a new issue at the last minute, you know, could affect the working group's ability to meet the publication deadline for the next, international meeting. So I just wanted to raise that as a concern. And I agree with Alex's perspective that, that sometimes there might be over-participation of one particular group that might also affect the outcome. I think, you know, that's certainly something that can be a problem.
Yeah, and I think we've discussed that before, to make sure that in a number of different stages that the recommendations that the report that's produced documents not just amount not amount of people that support or are against a certain position, but to document the specific groups and to make sure that that's reflected in the report. You know, because there are working groups, you know, there's and I'm going to forget what the abbreviation stands for, but the PEDNR, P-E-D-N-R group, the Post-Expiration Domain Name Recovery, I think. Certainly there are, because it is of high interest to the registrars, there are a lot more registrar reps on that group than other groups, but that does mean that the registrars should have more of a say in the outcome of that group. So the chair has to balance the issue where there's over participation. And I see, this vertical integration group being highly, high number of registries participating in that group simply because it's something that affects them. Aubrey, you have comments?
Yeah, just a quick point. I think we've run into another area where, balance is needed, to borrow somebody else's line. I mean, I do worry about, things that say, well, there's a schedule for getting documents out before a face-to-face meeting, and that a good reason for limiting comment at certain points. I mean, I realize the reality of schedules and the importance of getting things printed in time for people to see them, but we have to have a way to work around that if there is content that needs to be, you know, included. And so that's another place where we have to sort of strive for some notion of balance.
I think, if Margie, you want to respond, I think it was that there's a point that needs to be considered, the balance that needs to be considered probably in the publication of something for comment, facing those deadlines. I think Margie was really just pointing it out as kind of an illustrative example of certain things that the balance that needs to be struck. I don't think it's in this kind of way. So with that said, are there any other comments on stage 5? Okay, hearing none, I think now with the surveys and with the discussions we've had on stage 5, I think Marika has what she needs to start drafting the report for stage 5. I want to remind everyone that stage 4, the report is out. It came out last week or maybe even 2 weeks ago now. But that's out and up for comment for the group. Stage 5 should come out shortly. I won't make any commitments on behalf of Marika, but so, you know, when she can get that out. And at that point, we're going to have the 5 stages. What we need to delve into starting next week and beyond are the overall or overarching issues, things like translations, timing, issues that we've kind of gone through each stage saying, okay, yeah, that's an issue in all the stages, so we need to kind of now focus on those. I think there are going to be some tough conversations that take place with respect to those because they're not easy issues at all. So we'll need to go through those. Marika, you have comments.
Yeah, this is Marika. I actually sent you, Jeff, a document earlier today that I hope might facilitate that discussion in which I've tried to, you know, put in a row the different, like, overarching issues that we still need to address, and also all the bylaws that relate to Annex A, you know, in one document, and also incorporating those recommendations for changes that are already part of the report. So that might be an easier way to, because, you know, the issue such as timing, for example, is closely linked to the bylaws. So it might help the group in going through the bylaws, and as you said, it will be a really difficult discussion because there, you know, the group will really need to come together and agree on what changes the group wants to make as part of the review of the PDP process. So I hope, you know, that a document might be a way forward. Another issue, and that was also included in the email I sent out earlier this week, is something that came up I think in our call last week, is on decision making and appeal mechanism that was discussed in the working group work team, and maybe that's something as well to include as part of the overarching issues, whether the PDP work team wants to make any recommendations on, you know, what does consensus mean? Do we want to give any more specific instructions compared to what is now in the working group guidelines on how consensus is measured, or how you measure the different labels that we've given to the different levels of support, the appeal mechanisms that the working group work team proposes. Does the group agree that this same one should apply to a PDP work team, or does the group want to have a different proposal for PDP working groups? So I'm actually thinking now that's probably something to add to that list of issues as overarching issues for the PDP work team to consider.
Okay, and that was. And were there any other items that the working group work team had kind of kicked over to us to discuss?
I mean, this is Marika again. They haven't really kicked that over to us to discuss. They've made a specific recommendation, but the question is, and I think it's something we've discussed as well within staff, and we see it now as well in some other working groups, should further guidance be provided on, you know, what does it mean to have consensus? Or, you know, where do you draw the line between rough consensus and strong support? Should there be any more meat around that? Because now we basically provided this, or in the working group guidelines, what is provided is a description and basically chair's discretion to make that call. And, of course, there's an appeals mechanism if people don't agree with it, but the question is for PDP, should there be, you know, more instructions around, like, you know, because, you know, we're talking here about recommendations often for consensus policy. Should there be more meat around that in what it means to have consensus or rough consensus or, you know, strong support? Where does the difference lie? Not a specific question from the working group work team, but it's just an issue that this group might want to consider if they want to make any different recommendations on that. I mean, the group might say, well, we're happy with what is in there, and that should also apply to PDP working groups. Another issue that I think responses should be forthcoming shortly, because I know I've at least drafted them, and I think they're in Jay Scott's hand to send back to the PDP work team, is the questions on, you know, how should you measure the level of support from certain groups? Should you take into account if, you know, there are 20 registrars on a group and they all support it, and there's only, you know, one other constituency that doesn't support it? How do you balance that? And they've provided some feedback on that, on those kind of questions, like how should the GNSO Council go about recommendations that only have strong support, or you know, alternative views, what discretion should they have? So the working group work team has discussed those, and I think should be providing some feedback shortly on those to this group.
Okay, thank you for that. I know, Aubrey, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thanks. I first of all, I want to agree with Margie that these two groups need to have the results come together and be compared. And that was something that I think was always assumed from the beginning. I just wanted to point out one thing, and perhaps it's only in the way the description hit my ears, perhaps it probably is, but it isn't that the chair decides there's consensus and then it can be appealed. It's more, and I think that the work of the group describes it more, is that there's a process whereby the chair sort of goes through a work with the working group of, hey, do we have consensus on this, and going back and forth, making sure all opinions are heard, making sure that they've all been discussed, and that at a certain point, having gone through that process, they can try to call consensus, see what kind of feedback they get from the working group, and then if the feedback is always one person saying no but everybody else saying yes, as an example, then they can go ahead and call it and it's the appeals. But it's not quite so flat that, you know, chair says, okay, I think we have consensus, let's move on, without there really being a very serious process of arriving at that consensus.
Any other comments before I think we can adjourn for the day? Please, everyone, go fill out the doodles, the doodle for next week, for Monday or Tuesday, including myself. I have to fill it out, too. So if everyone could fill that out, and then we can have a call next week and get started on these overarching issues. I will, Marika, review that document that you sent me today. I have not been able to get onto my emails today yet, but once I do, I will make sure I send that out to the group as well.
Okay, and Jeff, let me then just add the two issues we just discussed, like the transition and as well as this decision-making methodology. So I'll send you an updated version a bit later today, yeah?
Great. Sounds fantastic. All right, everyone, thank you, and we will talk next week.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank
you.
Everybody.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Benedetta.